We'll go to item 5 first, and then we will return to item 4. Mr. Madden, didn't mean to catch you.
No.
A little off guard, but I always know you're there.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to appear here.
Always a pleasure to have you. And for the record, just to keep the record keeping straight, Kathy, this will be item 4.
The Mr. and Mrs. Joel Heffley are here today, and represented by Mr. Charles Folk, who's in the audience. This is a commission review on appeal by the applicants of the October 9th, 2007 decision by the Northumberland County Wetland Board to deny their application to install and backfill the 199 feet of timber bulkheading impacting 752 square feet of vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands at their property situated along Glebe Creek. I have two photographs for orientation, aerial photographs for orientation purposes. We have this out here is the Potomac and Lewisetta. The county seat of Heathsville is about 4 miles directly three miles southeast of this location, and I've circled in red where the property is. Here's a little bit closer look at it. This is the Heffley's Pier. The only thing on the pier at this time is, I mean, the only thing on this property at this time is the pier. It's an undeveloped lot, and the property lines extend down to an area down toward the cul-de-sac, and then it goes straight across here. The applicant's property is located in a residential development along Glebe Creek, approximately 3 miles northwest of Heathsville. The property is unimproved, save for the pier I just pointed out. While the bank along the shoreline is lowest in the vicinity of the pier, it reaches a maximum height of 17 feet. So it slopes up from this pier to a maximum height of 17 feet. And the intertidal area, which I'll show in some photographs in a few moments, contains patches of wetland vegetation. The remainder of the lot is wooded with numerous hard trees along the top of the bank and throughout the upland parcel, which will become obvious in a moment. The proposed project involves the construction and backfilling of 199 feet of timber bulkheading, extending as much as 3 feet into the wetland area along the shoreline, with all impacts, which will impact 752 square feet of vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands located at the base of the existing bank. Let's look at some photographs here. This was included in the packet that the board saw. This was transmitted by the Northumberland County Wetland Board. Here you can see the property lines. This is the Heffley's lot at 1 1/4 acres. There's the pier. And the alignment of the bulkhead. Here is a sketch of showing where the bulkhead's going to run, pretty much to the property line. Here's a map. Location of the project, the Northumberland County map, and here's a profile drawing of the or an elevation drawing of the proposed construction. This bulkhead project was first considered by the board at a hearing on August 14, 2007. At that time, Ms. Kennan Weymouth, staff for the Wetlands Board, read into the record the findings and recommendations of the Virginia Institute of Marine Science Shoreline Permit Application Report, which is in your packet, dated August 9, 2007. That report recommended that since there was no upland development on the property and no structures were at risk, that consideration be given to leaving the bank in its natural state. If stabilization were deemed necessary, the preferred option was to grade the bank back to create a wider intertidal marsh, which would naturally absorb wave energy. The report went on to further recommend that if the bank was graded, that a riprap sill might still be needed to retain or sustain the wetland. Let me go to some of the I'll come back to that if you need it. But this is a typical shot showing the alignment. That's the alignment, the initial alignment. It was later revised by a little bit, but that's basically what he wants to do. But this shows the bank. Bank, you see non-vegetated, in this location anyway, a non-vegetated intertidal zone. Here's another shot. Here's some intertidal vegetation here. A little bit of the intertidal zone once again. This is a shot on the left side of the pier. This is where the bulkhead will turn and wrap in and connect up with the upland. Here's an example, an image showing the height of the bank. There is quite a steep bank in this location at 17 feet, and there's markers out here. Following the staff's comments, these are some of the photographs that Kenan put these photographs on the table. They were all the members of the board saw them. I don't want to go to that one yet. All the members saw these photographs, and I'll go back to show you the ones. These are the ones that she took and were given to her to the staff at the first meeting and the board. Following staff's comment, board member Mr. Robert Van Landingham noted that a bulkhead should not be allowed here where the project was currently staked. Mention was also made that neither the applicant nor the representatives were present to discuss the project. Ms. Weymouth stated that she had spoken with the applicants prior to the hearing. She expressed her concern that the stakes, which you can see in this picture, marking the channelward extent of the bulkhead, were too far beyond the upland bank. She recommended that the owners reconsider staking the project such that it's no further than 2 feet channelward of the existing bank. Board member Mr. J.C. Curry mentioned that the project would take the whole beach. Board member Mr. Albert Fisher concurred with Mr. Van Landingham's earlier comment and said that the applicant didn't need that much room to put a bulkhead in. The chairman, Mr. George Rue, then suggested that the hearing be tabled until the September meeting since there was nobody present to speak on behalf of the applicant. Board member Mr. Harry Town then moved to table a discussion on the project until the September meeting. The motion was passed unanimously. Then the project gets taken up in September. At the regularly scheduled September 11th hearing, the table project was reconsidered. Present at the hearing was the agent for the project, Mr. Charles Folk, who apologized for failing to attend the previous public hearing, stating that he'd fallen asleep. Drawing on a flip chart, which I've repositioned over here, Mr. Folk proceeded to create a representation of the bank profile. And Mr. Folk used this diagram to support his claim that he needed to align the bulkhead and backfill at the mean low water elevation to provide enough mass at the base of the 17-foot bank to prevent it from failing. Mr. Folk also expressed his client's desire to be allowed to retain as many of the shaded trees at the top of the bank as possible. Following this demonstration, Mr. Curry stated that the board wanted the structure aligned at the mean high water mark instead of the mean low water mark. Mr. Folk expressed his concern that by aligning the bulkhead at mean high water, the board would be interfering with his client's ability to protect his property. Mr. Folk then said that he had never built a bulkhead behind mean high water. The chairman stated that he felt that the application should be accorded the same privilege as everyone else, which was to align the structure 2 feet in front of the existing bank. Mr. Folk urged the chairman to consider that his project was unique in that it involved a 17-foot high bank. To this, Mr. Rue agreed that a project like this one didn't come along very often. Numerous board members then mentioned previous projects where tall banks were involved. The chairman again stated that the owner should be given what everyone else was given. Mr. Van Landingham asked for clarification. Did the chairman mean a structure aligned 2 feet in front of an existing bank? The chairman responded in the affirmative. Mr. Curry reiterated that if the applicant were allowed to construct backfill the bulkhead as proposed, the project would eliminate all the vegetation in the intertidal zone. Mr. Folk responded that any bulkhead would take all the vegetation, and that if nothing were done, the bank would certainly fail. Commission staff then asked Mr. Folk why the bank couldn't be pulled back, to which Mr. Folk responded that if the slope were graded to a 3-to-1 slope, every shaded tree within 40 feet of the top of the bank would be cleared off. Let's look at the photographs for the second hearing. And these are, again, we return to the site. I was with Kennan when she took these. Again, we see that same bank. The got some restaking here. And here is the property on the upland. This is the top of the bank. We're looking from the top of the bluff back to the road. As you can see, there's nothing up there. There's some trees. And here's another photograph of the upland property. Mr. Town recalled a previous statement Mr. Folk made that the staked alignment under consideration might vary between 30 to 40 inches. This prompted Mr. Fisher to suggest that the board would look favorably upon a revised alignment, placing the bulkhead closer to the bank. Mr. Folk said that unfortunately, where the bank was the highest was where the encroachment needed to be farthest out in the wetlands and closest to the mean low watermark. The chairman suggested that Mr. Folk restake the alignment, which you just saw there. Mr. Van Landingham mentioned that since the applicant was dealing with such a high bank, the board could consider allowing him to encroach 3 or 4 feet from the bank. A lively discussion ensued as to the location of the mean low water mark and the board's jurisdiction. Commission staff suggested that a mean low water survey be conducted if there were questions. The agent agreed that a survey would remove any doubt as to the location of the mean low water mark. After further consideration, Mr. Fisher made a motion to table the decision for 30 days at the request of the applicant so the agent could obtain a tide survey. This motion was seconded and passed unanimously. The third time this project was brought up, when the board took up the project on October 9, 2007, at their public hearing, the agent indicated that he was unable to obtain the agreed-upon tide survey. Mr. Folk then explained how he established the mean low water elevation and that upon further examination, the proposed alignment was not as close to the mean low water elevation as he had originally thought. Mr. Folk mentioned the sparse intertidal vegetation. The chairman followed up by observing that Mr. Falk had made only minor changes in the previous staked alignment and that little had changed since the September hearing. The chairman reiterated the board's earlier concern that the proposed structure was aligned too far from the existing bank. Mr. Van Landingham pointed out that the board had approved a project earlier in the meeting with a similar bank profile. Mr. Van Landingham indicated that the approved project was only approximately 2 feet from the existing bank. Mr. Fisher mentioned that he thought the bank at the property Mr. Van Landingham was referring to was higher than the bank at the Heffley property. The chairman then asked if the agent wished to withdraw the application. Mr. Folk felt that he couldn't build a bulkhead in the alignment recommended by the board. He believed that the additional encroachment was needed to anchor the base of the structure. The chairman countered that he felt the board couldn't approve the project as proposed. Mr. Town then made a motion to deny the application as proposed, and that motion carried unanimously. In this case, the board was well aware that BIMS, their scientific advisor, did not recommend the bulkhead. Instead, they proposed a more integrated coastal management approach involving creation of wetlands, widening of the intertidal buffer, bank grading, and the installation of a riprap sill. The board also provided the applicant with ample opportunities to propose an alternative design. Staff believes that the record of the three hearings taken as a whole and the fact that the board continued the hearing repeatedly to afford the applicant, with an opportunity to submit additional data and justification indicates that the board adequately considered the public and private detriments of the proposal. And finally, in light of the following and failing to find that the applicant's right have been substantially prejudiced, staff recommends that the decision of the Northumberland County Wetland Board in this case be upheld.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much. Any questions of Mr. Madden?
Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Madden, in the VIM shoreline permit application report, it states that the existing site conditions have a low, moderate energy shoreline. Would you've been to the site?
Yes, sir.
Would you concur with that opinion?
Yes, I would, sir.
So, and what, tell me what you see as low and moderate, so for my benefit and the audience's benefit.
Of course, VIMS is here to comment on that, but the orientation of the shoreline relative, it's not, doesn't face northeast. It's a little bit off that head. There isn't that wide a body of water right there. The fact that there is any wetland vegetation along the intertidal area suggests that the wave energy is not as strong as, say, on the Potomac, okay, where the force would be enough to disrupt or destroy any vegetation. That's usually a good marker for me. Okay. I think the fact that it has a lot of overhanging vegetation probably restricts the light coming down on that shoreline. But the fact, Mr. Tankard, that there's any vegetation on that in that intertidal zone would suggest there isn't high wave activity.
Further questions? Mr. Fox.
Mr. Madden, what is the approximate fetch?
I'm not entirely sure about that. Mr. Folk could give you the number.
On the aerial photograph, it doesn't look like it's
extreme. Let me go back there. See, that this is even better.
And the orientation here, north is at the top?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, this is oriented north-south, and the project... Yeah, there's the pier, and the project kind of lays over this way. So it's not looking right down the barrel of the gun. It's sort of off at an angle. The area that would probably encounter the greatest fetch would probably be the area immediately adjacent and to the right of the pier. You want to get closer? This is what I mean. What I'm saying is here. That's the longest fetch right down there. Mm-hmm. And this looks up. This looks up.
But the high bank is
right over here.
To the left. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. It slopes. The highest portion of the bank is right about in this area here, and then it slopes down to the pier. And hence, that's why they put it there. It's a low spot.
Are we going to hear the...
Mr. Fox.
Are we going to hear the VIMS people talk about this?
We sure, if you want to, we sure can.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I think now would be the appropriate time, based on the report.
Okay. Yes.
Dave, is that you?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Fox, you had a question.
Well, I'm just interested in what your recommendations were. It does not appear to me that the property needs a bulkhead. It looks like a riprap or something like that would give the protection, maybe some planting of... some grasses would be sufficient.
You're correct. And our preferred alternative for this property would be to conduct some selective bank grading, create more of an intertidal area with marsh plantings to provide an erosion buffer for this property. And I agree with your assessment that a vegetative buffer would achieve that stated goal.
Would you agree?
Follow up by Mr. Fox.
Would you agree that he's going to lose some of the big trees on top of the bank, regardless of what he does?
Mr. Fox, I've not been to the site, but from the photographs and from speaking with marine scientist Molly Ruggiero, who has been to the site, there are trees that are in jeopardy of toppling over into the creek, whether the bank is graded or not. Mm-hmm. And it is inevitable that some of those will be lost, but by selectively grading, it would be hoped that the larger, more specimen trees that Mr. Madden showed in some of his photographs appear to be far enough back from the bank that those certainly would be preserved.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Is the appellant here or represented? Yes, sir. Would you come forward? Good morning.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand.
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
It will.
Can you state your name, please?
Yes. It's Charles L. Folk, and I am a professional engineer in the civil field and have been trained in soils management.
All right.
First, I'd like to talk about VIM's report. I would guess that VIMS didn't walk the whole site, and they sure didn't recognize the need for protection of the bank, as others have, as well as myself, have recognized the need. At the zone of about 0.5 plus mean low water to about plus 1.3, or 1.4, there is a layer of very stiff clay with lots of roots embedded in it, but it's very hard clay. So at normal high tides, the tide reaches the top of this grade, and at extreme tides, like northeast winds and forced tides up these creeks, the sand bank, which is the rest of the bank going up, is wetted for whatever length back water will travel in sand on top of the clay, and to whatever extent of height the water would rise, plus a couple inches. No one has seemed to recognize that there is both a very stiff and a very loose situation there, compacted on one on the other. As far as vegetation is concerned, very briefly, when the project was first looked at with the owner and myself and staked, there was no vegetation whatsoever in the intertidal zone. And we purposely laid out the whole job so there wouldn't be any vegetation.
Mr. Falk, it would be easy. Do we have a laser pointer?
Yeah.
Joe? I need you to stay here in front of the mic so that we can get your voice on the recording.
There you go.
Is it working?
No. You can use the mouse right here. That will move around to red.
Okay. Mm-hmm. From the pier on the property, starting at about where the point of the arrow is, approximately 10 feet from the pier, there is heavy vegetation all the way around to the other end of his property, and I'm trying to follow the shoreline. That's extremely heavy marsh grass. The bulkhead goes behind all of it, as you heard earlier. However, the purpose of the bulkhead is to hold the bank back to save the trees and the man's property. He's on a corner. No one has ever tried to protect this property before, and I'm sure that particular property was in a path like this many years ago. The erosion is slow, but it's violent when it happens. I have some pictures, if there's some way of showing it to the committee, of the erosion of the clay layer, which is in the intertidal zone, underneath this, anywhere from 70 to 80 degree above the horizontal bank.
Mr. Madden, were those pictures part of the record at the time?
No, sir. That was not seen by the board.
No, I, in the restaking and the establishing of the tide marker at the site, I moved the red-headed stakes, which is the mean low water location, and the yellow stakes stayed the same and were not moved.
I'm afraid that would require a reopening of the record by the commission, and I'm afraid I'll open it up to a motion, but I'm afraid that if that were done subsequent to any hearing or procedure by the Wetlands Board, they did not have the benefit of reviewing that, and I would philosophically have a problem with that, but I'll put it before the board.
They did have an opportunity to see the location of everything at the site. Whether they went there or not is a different matter.
Even the restaking. Okay.
Putting this out, it all happened before the last meeting.
Matters before the
commission. Photographs were taken at a low tide 3 days ago, but no stakes. One stake is missing, and that's all the thing
Thank
stays
you.
The same. It washed away.
Motion's made. Motion before the commission, or
if someone
the commission will honor a motion to open the record.
Excuse me.
What
Yes. Is there a motion to reopen the record or to open the record to show these photographs?
I'll make a motion that we show the photographs.
Motion made by Mr. McCluskey. Second.
I'll second it for the purpose of vote.
Motion made by Mr. McCluskey, second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
May I have a clarification?
Yes, sir.
The motion is to open the record to view the photographs that were not available to the Northumberland County Wetlands Board. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, Mr. Folk is also talking about stakes, but the location stakes apparently were available to the Wetlands Board.
That's correct.
But we only talk about photographs.
Correct.
I understand.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No.
No.
Motion fails. Continue with your...
So you don't want to see what we're talking about here today is the conclusion you've just reached, and I understand. But the same situation exists with the Wetlands Board. They don't want to get their feet wet. And the problem is, when I mentioned this in the second scheduled meeting, no one volunteered that they ever went down and looked at the base of the cliff. And that's the problem and where the trouble is. With the wetlands, the VIMS didn't recognize it, and the Northumberland Council didn't recognize it, looking at it, just because, you know, maybe they just forgot their boots. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank
you. I don't think that's the case. However, if you'll see this drawing, that's up.
If you could use, well, you can't use the
my
pointer.
Drawing,
go ahead, sir.
Was
that part of the record, Joe?
Yeah, it was.
All right, sir.
Somebody took it.
Yeah.
I wrote it right. The second meeting.
As close to the microphone as you can get it so he can point to it.
Okay. This is a typical cross-section of what we have there. And still, you'll notice that the steepness in any of the line's drawings is very steep. Okay. To save this bank, failure of a bank is somewhere of this steep and of the type material and the clay layer occurs very steep because sand can stand as long as it's not inundated with a lot of water.
I presume this by notation is not to scale.
No.
Okay, just for clarification.
An approximation.
Yes, sir. Just
an idea.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so failures for high banks depend on two things, the material and the amount of lubrication it gets from rain. Fortunately, we haven't had any lubrication in a year. And the bank has stood, hasn't fallen in about 7 months. No fall anywhere in it in 7 months. However, this is a true depicting of what it is. Bank in this clay layer. However, there has been additional wear in the clay layer, which I can't present to you because you're not interested in the wear and tear in the intertidal zone. So the only way to stabilize this is to try and avoid some way of this clay layer being broken off and the back collapsing all at once. That's how it will fail when the time comes, especially if they get any rain at all. So this bulkhead is set somewhere. I've drawn it extremely close to the mean low water. Actually, it's probably at the 40% point by average between the toe of the bank and mean low water. So in many cases, it's 4 and 5 feet from mean low water, where the bulkhead would be in. It's been laid out in straight line segments so that you could build a bulkhead rather than try to follow the toe of the bank, which is what the county would have approved, which would have made a bulkhead almost impossible to build. So there are places which it could be closer. It never got to be offering to move part of the bulkhead closer where the bank is lower. That wasn't interested. All they wanted to do is convey a 2-foot ruling of theirs and say that all banks and all conditions are the same, which really disappointed me that there was nobody there qualified to really look at the situation. And they didn't look at the situation, physically or mentally. And so if failure occurs, it'll occur like this, and it pushes this material in the bank down and pushes it up in this zone until such a time that the weight being pushed up stops the movement of the bank. That's how all banks fail, mm-hmm. if they're not stabilized in some way or restricted. This is probably slowed a little bit and would stand higher because of the heavy root system in the intertidal zone from upland trees which have fallen in the past, or ones that need water so bad they're going down great distances to get to the water. If a bulk pin were put out here and tied back, as shown in the application, that, and you put the weight there, you'll stop the failure, you'll also stop the erosion of this clay layer, and you'll save all vertical trees on the property, whether they're on this approximate bank now or near the near vertical part. If they're straight up down, you save them. If they're bent toward the water, you get rid of them and take them away. There are trees in top. There are five major trees, one gum and four oaks. When I brought up the subject, well, the Virginia law is not being considered about, in this case, about, there's no representative here except the young lady who's representing the county for the Wetlands Board, happens to be either the assistant or she says she represents the Chesapeake Bay Act as well. And the whole thing about the Chesapeake Bay Act is to try to shade the area or put cover on it so you slow the water entry and let the water enter the ground rather than run off and wear. But apparently that, to get that point across to the Montgomery County Commission was almost like, you know, we don't want to hear that. Which means they didn't want to hear the Virginia laws. So I don't know what to say. I don't have an alternative. Where the bank is lower, this distance from mean high water could get as much as 50% of the distance between the toe and the low water mark. As I said, the correction, as Mr. Madden said, the correction for tidal, the tide gauge was set, and I believe it to be within 1 or 2 inches of NOAA's tide gauge, which is downstream in the same creek. I waited 20 minutes and erected this tide gauge on an incoming tide or on a falling tide. So that's how it was set. I couldn't get any surveyors to come set it. So it bothered me professionally to go set it myself, although I know how, and I have the equipment to survey it, actually.
I understand.
That puts a question on what I'm trying to do. So the point today is, I think if you put a bulkhead right here, the bulkhead strength doesn't start as far as any pile support until it gets right here. And that's the zone that's going to move. Now, if you stop the erosion, fine, but you're still going to have an eroded area that you backfill, which is still will weaken with moisture and break off. So there'll be a first failure if you don't have some way of stopping it. You backfill it 2 feet. I'm hoping that this 2-on-1 bank would provide enough weight in this hashed area to stop the lower part of the bank from moving and also stop the top part from moving. It's that simple. Where the activity is all within the man's property. If it has to be done at 2 feet, as a contractor as well, I will not offer to do it because I think it's a strictly unsafe and waste of money. The solution that VIMS offers to do nothing is to watch your land wash away and end up in the creek.
I don't.
All of the grass, excuse me just a second more, I'm almost finished.
All right.
All of the grass, which I pointed out in the picture, is all from this bank falling in, or it wouldn't stay there. It has no bank there. And all the sand that it is pure sand, and it came off of this upper bank when it was out here somewhere. And that's what happened. The tidal activity and the little bit of wave roll from the southwest is enough to keep moving the sand down around and moving that marsh further out into the creek. If we don't do anything, you lose depth in the creek, and you add silt to the creek, which doesn't help anybody, and actually
I don't know if it could be a pollutant or not, if you consider silt a pollutant. I would guess if I had a truckload of silt and wanted to dump it in the water, that VIMS and VMRC would be the first one to complain about it. If it were clean sand, of course they would not. I don't have any other thing to present to the council except to state I think the county showed a lack of understanding and interest in what was presented to them. And their conclusion, which was heard after the gavel fell by Mr. J. Woodward, who was there in Mr. Madden's in Jeff's absence. I think he was on vacation or away at the last meeting. But the last thing said was that we had these high banks and they're no different than yours. I present you the facts today, at least by my statement, that there's a clay layer there that's making them a whole lot different. And I don't know what else to do. To leave it would be probably over a three-year period allowed the whole bank to fall off 4 feet of volume into the water, which is VIM's recommendation, which I don't wholeheartedly disagree with.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions, please?
Any questions, folks?
Yes, I have a question.
Mr. McCluskey.
Yes, sir.
I'm not speaking for or against the application. Just a little confused on it. Will you refer to page 517?
He probably doesn't have that.
519?
He doesn't have those.
I'm sorry. That's information I don't have here.
Bye-bye.
From the slides.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir. Take time.
The time has come. What page?
517.
5I.
5I7.
5I7.
Yes, sir.
7.
Yes.
5I8 and 5I9.
Toward the back.
Last three pages.
Yeah.
Three pages, six pages.
Okay.
Those are slides.
Yeah.
Still going.
Yeah, those were on slides, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I have 5I1, and you want me to start on which one?
There we go.
5I7. I don't have I1.
We're going to put them up here real fast.
5I7. That's 5I7, Mr. McCluskey.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Can you show me where that particular picture might have been made on the property? It looks to me like
if you took the whole length of the property, it's at about the 40% location from the left-hand end. It's the end of the beach and standard bank. Nothing has fallen into the water where that was taken. All of the major trees who have failed and the banks and the condition of the bank when they were left are all beyond that. It's probably close, if I may, I would say that picture and this location are approximately the same spot in the property.
What do you propose, it to bulkhead that area?
Yes, as you can see, the height.
This is the lower part. It gets higher as it goes that way. And this part is still a good 12 feet above the water and almost a vertical bank.
Yes, I propose the whole bulkhead, the whole area. Now, that's from there on back to the pier. Some of the stakes showing the bulkhead could be moved closer because mean low water moved further away when the correct staking of mean low water was shown. So there's a pretty wide beach there, and I'm sure that you would take up less than 50% of the beach, maybe get it down as maybe only using up the 40% of the upland portion of the beach. But if you don't gain some distance from the toe, which is here, you don't have the earth counterweight to stop movement of the bank in the upper part. And I Casino. Hope that answered your question.
Well, one other follow-up on that.
Follow-up, Mr. McCleskey.
Has there been any erosion there, any record of how much erosion has occurred, say, over the last 10 or 15 years? Has there been any erosion?
The Army could come up with that, but I cannot. They have annual photographs of all these creeks, and they could, and they're good photographs, and the accuracy of it probably over, if you used 40, 50 years, I would guess. I strictly a throw in a dart. I, you know, a guesstimate that the bank was at least 10, 12 feet further out.
What is the purpose of the bulkhead?
The bulkhead is to stop further loss of the bank for the next 35 or 40 years.
Thank you very much.
Further questions?
Yes.
Mr. Tankard?
In the testimony in one of the three different meetings, there was some mention of a 3-to-1 slope, and it was, Mr. Folk, you said that every shade tree within 40 feet of the top of the bank would have to be cleared off, but why wasn't that more of a consideration on your part or the applicant's part?
What is 3 times 36?
I'm asking you the question.
Yeah, okay. 3 times 36 is over 100 feet. Over 100 feet to move the top of the bank back would absorb every tree within 100 feet of the top of the bank, so they're all going to go during the excavation. And 1-on-3 is a fairly steep excavated bank.
Excuse me, but here you said every within 40 feet of the top of the bank would be cleared off.
Well, I was guessing at the time. Did I say it here today or at a meeting?
At the meeting.
Yeah, it would be 40. That would be a 2-on-1 slope or less, and that's an extremely steep slope and would be subject to erosion because you get less erosion on a steep bank than you do on one that's flattened because it collects less water. In other words, the amount of rain that comes down on this, you know, is different than the quantity of rain that all of a sudden doubles when you provide a double the area.
Thank you. Further questions, Mr. Folk?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Just a question for clarification. In the record on page 5D5, in your testimony to the board, you indicate that the bank is 13 to 17 feet high?
Yes, but some of it's only 4 or 5, and that's right at the pier. And then it goes down lower than that as it turns the corner up the pier. But the bank that really needs bulkhead stabilization is, yes, meet those criteria.
Thank you.
If you don't do anything at the other and it's downhill from the yard, it still gets the rain runoff and still washes.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Folk.
Thank you.
Is anyone here from the Wetlands Board like to be heard? Okay. Just as a refresher, before we go any further in discussion, this is an appeal under 28.2.13.13. When the commission to modify, remand, or reverse decision of the Wetlands Board, the commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance or the substantial rights of the appellant or applicant have been prejudiced because of the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the Board are in violation of constitutional provisions, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, made upon unlawful procedure, affected by other error or law, unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole, or arbitrary and capricious or an abuse of discretion. The matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick.
Well, it appears to me here we just have a difference of opinion between the Wetlands Board and the contractor.
As well as VIMS.
Yeah, and VIMS. And unfortunately for the applicant, we're not supposed to be judging or putting our judgment in place of the Wetlands Board's judgment. So I move that we uphold the Wetlands Board's decision.
Motion made by Mr. Schick to uphold the Wetlands Board. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you pointed out at the beginning of this discussion, we are looking for errors of law and other items identified in 28.2-1313. And, you know, when I look back at the VIMS report, one concern I had, it indicated that it said since there are no upland improvements on the property, no structures are at risk. Having said that, I still think the applicant has a right to protect their property. The question is, how should that be done? And I think the VIMS report points out that the proposed alignment of the bulkhead would result in a permanent loss of most of the wetland area along the shoreline. And consequently, I think the board was justified in its decision to deny the application as presented. I think the applicant is still free to submit an amended application that would incorporate the strategy that VIMS has advocated to try to simultaneously protect the property and protect the existing habitat along that shoreline. So I have trouble seeing that there's an error of law or that the decision was otherwise unsupported by the record, and I would support the motion.
Further comments? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Presentation. I'm sorry.
I'm abstaining because I really don't have it clear in my mind.
Okay. One abstention by Mr. McCluskey. Thank you, sir. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this meeting be recessed and that the Commission immediately reconvene in closed meeting for the purpose of consultation with legal counsel and briefings by staff members pertaining to actual or probable litigation or other specific legal matters requiring legal advice by counsel as permitted by subsection A, paragraph 7 of section 2.2.